From economics to geopolitics, this is The Shandy Economist. Welcome back in 2021. I'm your host, Alexandra Colalillo, an economist and risk advisor. Do you consider economics to be boring and overly complex? Well, this podcast will change your mind. Tune in to grasp economic theory, problems, and events in a digestible way so you can keep informed and empower yourself with the tools to engage in intellectual debate. Let's get started. Welcome back to The Shady Economist. We're now in July, so happy new financial year. It's actually been a fair while since I've released an episode, and a solo one for that matter. So I must admit, it does feel a little strange sitting here in a dark room by myself talking into a microphone. There's something that's not quite fitting about the whole situation, but I'm sure I'll get used to it. So this episode in particular, we're going to be looking at the influencer economy, a term coined between 2010 and 2020. And the question sometimes asked by, or often millennials and Gen Zs, is why bother intern, train or work 9 to 5 when you can get money, fame and fortune through photographing and recording your life on a digital stream? Well, fact of the matter is that the influencer economy is actually, as we know, transformed business models and has completely changed the way brands advertise. Gone are the days of spending millions of dollars on giant billboards and magazine spreads. People are no longer seeking gratification from 2D ads, and advertising is now consumed through watching the day-to-day lives and journeys of influencers. People want to know when the influencer got coffee, what type of coffee it was, how good the coffee was, what cafe they bought it from, who they were with, and what they were wearing at the time. The result is returns are up and influencers are raking in the dough. So why doesn't everyone become an influencer then? Is it really this simple? Not too long ago, it was unimaginable that posting content on social media could classify as genuine employment. Rather than reaping rewards from the silver screen, some of the most successful pop culture icons have risen to fame on Instagram and TikTok. And what's interesting is that there is a belief that influencing is a relatively new idea that's emerged in the past 10 years. Well, actually, it's been around for centuries. In this discussion, I'll be diving into the history behind influencing, whether it's worthwhile pursuing a vocation as an influencer, what the increasing saturation of influencers means for the labour market, and what benefits brands receive from partnering with influencers. And to bring this all to life, I'm drawing upon personal anecdotes from a very good friend of mine, Ilma, who is actually a project manager full-time in the UK, used to be based in Australia but moved over to the UK. And Ilma's an incredibly successful Instagram influencer for fashion, beauty and skincare. So I'd encourage you to all hop on your phones now, check her out on Instagram, and add her under the handle Hello Moya, HELLOMOIA. Gosh, I hope I've pronounced that properly. But yes, add her. She's very much goals. So I would agree with the fact that, yes, the social media explosion over the past decade has given rise to influencers as we know them today. But I'm not sure we could say that influencers have only been influencing for the past 10 years. If we quickly date back, and by the way, this is not going to be a history lesson, this is honestly just a quick recap of where we've come from. In the 17th and 18th centuries, citizens turned to kings, queens, and popes for advice on which medicines to take. Celebrity endorsements began to explode in the 80s and 90s. So we had Michael Jordan promoting everything from, you know, his own Air Jordans to Wheaties to Gatorade to McDonald's. Like, the list can go on, honestly. And then came the 2000s and the internet, of course. And so you no longer really needed to be a celebrity to be an influencer. Bloggers surged in popularity, writing about travel, parenting, food, and the like, and the lifestyle business sector was born. So let's jump forward to 2010-2019. Between this time, influencer marketing was on an unstoppable upward trajectory. So we had all these influencers entering the market under their own volition. And not only that, brands began to invest in them as part of their marketing strategy. So anyone could become an influencer, hop on a social media platform, start posting pictures, and there you go. If we fast forward to today, 2021, influencer marketing is very much still on the rise and has evolved to put more focus on personalization and authenticity. And while a large platform of followers always presents opportunities, brands are also turning to micro and nano influencers to connect with increasingly savvy and niche customer bases. And by this term, we mean people with fewer followers who ultimately make up the backbone of the industry. But I'll touch on this a little more later. Now that we've established that influencers have technically been around forever, here is the key question. Is it now your calling to be an influencer? Is it worth venturing down this path? You may be considering starting up a side hustle and promoting it through TikTok or an Instagram page, which by all means go for it, but is it worth investing the time and effort to become an influencer? Well, it all depends on your intent behind starting the side hustle. Perhaps you're looking to create a monetization strategy behind it or have an ambition to never work a 9-to-5 job in your life, which, mind you, seems to be the desire for most Gen Zs out there. And many would label this a foolish aspiration, yet current monetary incentives refute this. Brands utilize celebrities with millions of followers all the way down to nano influencers, which have 1,000 to 10,000 followers, opening up the door for many. And whilst being an Instagram influencer might not be the most conventional path to take, the returns certainly make it an alluring option for many. In fact, US firms currently spend 69% of their influencer budget on Instagram and can pay up to $3,500 per post, depending on the influencer's engagement and following. And that's pretty astronomical. So with the right strategy, it certainly seems like you can monetize your influencer platform quite quickly. And as an example, Ilma started influencing in October 2020, and 3 weeks in, brands were gifting her items in exchange for advertising their product. Fast forward to December that year, Ilma was signed with an influencer agency. That's some successful entrepreneurialism right there. And what's crazy is the fact that influencers have virtually no limit to the number of posts and therefore revenue they can make in any one day, obviously. And according to the Financial Times, if you have an audience of 100,000 followers, you can charge brands $2,700 USD per post on average. And influencers with 4 to 20 million followers typically make a cool $6,000 to $17,500 USD every time they upload a sponsored post. Ilma, with 4,000 followers, charges £200 for reels and £80 for static posts. So no wonder we're seeing more people than ever pursuing lives as influencers. Not to mention, all the products you would accumulate from brands would certainly act as a money saver. So what does this all mean for the labour market? Well, it all comes down to economic fundamentals. Bottom line is, the higher the wage that's offered in the influencer economy, the higher the number of candidates in the labour supply that are willing to work. Theoretically speaking, we could hypothesise that following Instagram's launch in 2010, real wages have risen, discounting COVID, resulting in short-term employment levels rising in the industry. So let's assume the influencers are making bank while there isn't as much competition in the market. However, this upward trend just described may have only been the case when Instagram and TikTok first hit the ground running. Since then, we've noticed some changes though. So over time, as influencers have begun to realize the fruitful opportunities available through Instagram and TikTok, we're witnessing a gradual oversaturation of influencers in the market. And as labor supply of influencers increases over time, employment levels are increasing, resulting in the fall of real wages in the long term. So it would be great to have access, you know, to influencer wage data over the last 11 years, because without it, it's actually hard to paint a full depiction of the market. But in any case, we're certainly seeing these trends, and it's clear that becoming an influencer is becoming a more legitimate vocation over time. But as the market saturates, finding that market niche or gap is certainly becoming increasingly difficult with rising competition. Plus, you don't have control over the ever-changing algorithms of Instagram and TikTok either. So building a substantial social media following on YouTube, Instagram, or Facebook, and then successfully monetizing the platform is not achieved as vicariously or simply as many assert or assume. It requires creative skill, effort, labor, and the aesthetics that sell are constantly on the move. After chatting with Ilma, she noted that while being in the fashion, beauty, and skincare industry, she's actually required to consistently and constantly forecast trends to remain ahead of competitors and gain more traction from brands. So one has to wonder how realistic it is to consider never working a 9-to-5 job in the pursuit of relying on influencer revenue. If the market is rapidly evolving, you would have to continuously innovate and think very carefully about your marketing strategies. So it doesn't sound as easy as it looks. To digress briefly, I'd just like to make a point that there can often be criticisms made about social media influencers, such as, you know, the celebration of unrealistic lifestyles or body image, which is true. But too often, the general entrepreneurialism of those involved is actually dismissed. And we tend to liken real tech entrepreneurs to those such as Apple's Steve Jobs or Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, for example. But really, a tech entrepreneur is anyone who applies a business mindset to a new technology. Anyway, back to the topic. What other challenges do influencers face? Well, let's think about the pricing model. It isn't currently regulated, is it? The influencer economy is technically a gig economy, so it makes sense why there is no formal structure around it. So how does an influencer know if brands are offering too much, or in most cases, too little for their services? After speaking with Ilma, it was made clear that this is a significant issue in the industry, particularly for micro-influencers. And Instagram pages are dedicated to exploiting pricing benchmarks for benefits. So what we might see in the future are price floors imposed, which control or limit how low a price can be charged by a brand for the services of an investor. Further, the business of influence is subject to ongoing change at the disposal of the economic market fluctuations. And if you think about the way an economic recession works, some companies survive and some companies don't. This applies to the influencer economy. For years, the influencer economy has operated in boom times with high corporate marketing budgets. In fact, a survey by Megatix, an influencer marketing agency, found that 17% of companies spent over half their marketing budget on influencers in 2019. Now, this sounds all well and good, but what happens if a recession comes around the corner? Well, shopping will come to a halt, and marketers would be unlikely to return to the type of broad branding campaign that's come to define the influencer world. Brands would likely demand more evidence that their marketing dollars are being put to good use and that influencers give them sales, not just exposure. That's quite a lot of pressure. And even if you have a large following, this probably won't guarantee you security, as those who can't connect with their followers or prove their value towards brands may find that their place in the industry grows more precarious. Even influencers who can demonstrate that value will have to remain adaptive to a rapidly changing world. And the harsh reality is, as you change, branding preferences also change, and you're likely to be replaced by someone new or younger than yourself who does it better. So creating a product with longevity is critical. Not to mention, if influencing is your sole source of income, you can say goodbye to sick leave or annual leave. COVID, on the other hand, poses a unique situation. While the pandemic has ultimately resulted in poorer economic conditions globally and therefore tighter brand marketing budgets, people have spent more time on social media. In fact, Ilma noted that in the height of COVID in the UK, brands were prevented from hosting influencer events and instead invested this money towards more collaborations with micro-influencers like herself. So that's a win. But let's now turn to how the influencer economy has actually affected brands. Platforms such as billboard and magazine advertising once consumed large portions of corporate marketing budgets, and yet arguably didn't really provide businesses with the intimate access to potential customers that Instagram and TikTok does. For example, David Wellington, a watch seller, bypassed all traditional forms of marketing and harnessed influencers by gifting them watches in the hopes of exposure. This marketing strategy made them one of Europe's fastest growing companies between 2013 and 2015. The intimate reach that influencers have through Instagram and TikTok also makes it attractive and cost-effective to firms. Not to mention the marketing data available to track this reach and allow for a more targeted and sophisticated marketing strategy. And Instagram influencers spend approximately 28 minutes per day scrolling their feeds, of which a large proportion are ads. So now there is a decent proportion of the market advertising within those 28 minutes right there. The way I'm talking about this sort of seems like brands are in control of the influencer's success, right? Well, until now, brands have helped influencers, creators, and social platforms enhance their monetization by paying for reach or perhaps an agreed number of posts. Influencers, on the other hand, have been at the mercy of brands reaching out for a collaboration. But this isn't always the case. You see, if brands are no longer able to sponsor content or have paid partnerships with influencers and creators, this begs the question, do influencers instead have the power over brands? If the market does indeed head in this direction, a new retail partnership model could emerge where brands will need to provide exclusive products to individual influencers that other influencers don't have. As a brand owner, you're also at the mercy of the influencer's behaviour. So there are ultimately brand and reputational risks associated with collaborating with influencers. And in addition to superficial endorsements and inauthentic tones, there's a real danger that the entire relationship could actually sour due to an influencer's behaviour, resulting in the brand not reaching the right audience. And in the worst case, some influencers may be perceived to take brand sponsorships simply to get paid, without consideration as to whether their audience would appreciate the brand. We've covered the economy from an influencer and brand perspective, but what about the majority of us, the consumers of it all? Many of you probably reside in the group of normal Instagram influencers. So how does influencer marketing impact upon us? Well, arguably, it enables a wider range of people to criticize and have their input on new products. Anyone can heart react the launch of a new product, but negative reviews can also be seen instantly by millions. And one could argue that brands need to be more aware of customer desires than ever. The fact that we can directly interact with influencers rather than flicking through a non-interactive 2D print enables us to have a better understanding of what the product looks like and its quality. I mentioned earlier that brands have the opportunity to differentiate their products and are able to cater to individuals' needs more than ever. So the consequence of this is that we as consumers are exposed to a greater variety and higher quality of product. Although, to point out the obvious, these social platforms also have the capacity to decrease our non-material living standards by deteriorating our mental health. And it's widely known that watching other people's highlight reels on Instagram and comparing ourselves to these unrealistic images is a key factor in diminishing mental health. But we won't dive into this right now because that's a whole another episode in itself. So what makes influencers so influential anyway? It all comes down to trust. 49% of customers today depend on influencer recommendations for their purchase decisions. Nelson's Consumer Trust Index reports that 92% of customers trust influencer marketing over traditional advertising. And audiences are skeptical of traditional one-way communication strategies and celebrity endorsements. Instead, consumers are hungry for authenticity. People can engage directly with influencers many of whom respond to posts and comments and participate in two-way dialogue with followers. A 2017 survey of 4,000 social media users across the US, UK, Germany, and France concluded that authenticity is the main reason influencers are trusted. You think that the greater your following, the better, right? That's not actually always the case. Research suggests that micro-influencers can be more influential, delivering better engagement and higher conversation rates on average. But it makes sense, right? The fewer following, the greater love you can give to each follower. According to research, 48% of marketers working with influencers say audience relationship is the most valuable factor when considering which influencer to collaborate with. And generally speaking, they also tend to be regarded as more authentic, having the ability to generate more weekly conversations and enhancing their tailoring capacity for brand partnerships. Geez, this whole thing sounds like a tough gig, trying to grow your following, but then fearing you're not authentic enough if it grows too big. Micro-influencers also tend to charge lower rates, so collaborators can lend a more cost-effective deal. But here's the ironic part. If we're saying that reach and niche are two factors that will give you the greatest impact as an influencer, and having fewer followers as a micro-influencer means you have more of a reach and niche, then does this mean having fewer followers is ideal? I mean, I wouldn't define myself as a digital influencer, but wow, perhaps my cute following of under 950 followers is ideal. You see, I often get asked if my goal is to grow my following and become an influencer. I mean, no doubt, I am always aiming for greater reach, but it just isn't possible for me to share my life journey on social media. I just simply can't and do not have the time with the demands of a full-time job I adore and friends and family I'd like to stay connected with. But if you are someone who does, kudos to you. Like I mentioned earlier, I wouldn't call myself an influencer. I'm an economist. My goal isn't to influence, but to educate and provide food for thought, because that's the reason why I started this podcast to begin with. And if educating simultaneously means influencing, then I'll take it. It's important to remember, though, that I'm not here to tarnish the worth of an influencer. In fact, it takes great time and strategic entrepreneurship to target your market, grow a following, and continuously innovate yourself or your product to maintain relevance. And I think it will be interesting to observe how the influencer economy evolves over the next 10 years and its impact on an increasingly saturated labour market and what this will all mean for brands and consumers of products going forward. I raised this earlier, but I also beg the question of whether this gig economy will be subject to further regulation. That is, will influencers be restricted as to how much they charge per post, and what are the outcomes from a tax declaration perspective? And that again is probably an entirely different episode in itself. It's incredible to see the current level of influence influencers actually have through these digital platforms and the way people respond for the good or for the bad. And while influencing life comes with a lot of challenges, including, you know, finding a niche in an already oversaturated market and continuously finding ways to differentiate yourself and your value from the rest, it seems to certainly pay off if you are successful and charging lots of money for a singular post. So if you wish to enter this realm of influencing life, I wish you the best of luck. That's a wrap for today. If you have any comments or questions, please comment on any of my posts or flick me a private message. You can also reach me on Instagram at The Shady Economist, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and TikTok. I look forward to you listening in on the next episode. Bye for now.